And before Tom Bernardo comes to speak for us today, let me read our passage. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Just those two verses for us today. Let me read them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Straight over to Tom Bernardo.
Thanks, Mikey, and good afternoon, everybody. Lovely to see you, particularly if you're back here for the first time after a few months out of the city. It's wonderful to be able to meet together this lunchtime. What could make a man so keen to share the gospel that he would persist in doing so despite having once been stoned? That he would endure beatings, the rejection of friends and of family, that he would endure real pain, emotional, physical, for making the gospel known. You join us as this lunchtime we continue in our talks on this letter written to the Roman Christians. The author's name is Paul. He is God's witness, chapter 1, verse 1, an apostle, and he dearly, dearly wants to make the gospel known. In fact, that's where we ended last week, isn't it? Chapter 1, verse 15, I am eager, says Paul, that is, I am enthusiastic about the prospect of preaching the gospel to you also who are in Rome. We learn elsewhere that Paul endured three beatings for speaking of the gospel. Just think about that for a moment. Three times he was publicly flogged for it. He was rejected by friends and family. He left a life of relative comfort, of job security, we might say, in order to make Christ Jesus known. And so the question then is why? Why endure all that discomfort? Why the eagerness to preach to those in Rome? You know, what could make a man so keen to share the gospel that he would persist despite once being stoned? Well, let's make the question a bit more contemporary as we gather together in the city this lunchtime. I, along with a couple of others on the staff team, was at a networking event for Christians in the city the other day. And one of the guys being interviewed was, I think it's fair to say, a fairly high-flying investment banker. So he works in mergers and acquisitions. He has a job with Global Profile. He is very well rewarded financially, and his name is internationally known. But he was recalling a time when HR really tried to put the brakes upon him sharing the gospel. I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but you know, they cancelled the Christian meeting in his office, or they wouldn't let him book a room, or wouldn't let him hand out flyers for a carol service and something. And so he went to the partners and said, I am leaving if you do not let me make the gospel known, which I think somewhat focused their minds as he said that. But what would make a man so keen to share the gospel that he would consider clearing his desk, packing his bags, and heading back home? So keen to share the gospel that he'd risk his employment to make it known. I will leave this bank, he said, if you stop me from making the gospel known. Well, I cannot claim to speak, of course, directly for that banker, but I know why Paul was so keen to preach in Rome. Because here in these two verses, what we find are three convictions which all underlie his need to make Christ known. They're down there on the handout. Three convictions on the gospel. Here is why he was so keen to preach in Rome. Conviction number one, the gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Just have a look down again at verse 16, which Mikey read out for us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, writes Paul. That is, I'm not concerned about losing status for it. I don't mind the pain or the kind of beatings that come along with standing up for it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, writes Paul. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. our vicar at a former church when we were all still students. He used to just bang on and on and on and on about the power of the gospel. And he had this wonderful story, which I don't think is apocryphal. I used to think it was apocryphal. I think I now know the bloke to whom it refers. But Christian man at customs, baggage check-in at the airport. Does your bag contain any of the following items, sir? And you know, they used to hold up that sort of laminated A4 sheet with sort of eight things you couldn't take on the plane. And the Christian man answers, no, but it does contain something highly explosive. There is something that is dynamite in the middle of all my clothes. And I think it was before 9/11, but you can still work out the rest of the story, right? So over comes security, who sort of rifle through the suitcase. They're throwing out his holiday reading and his clothes. What do they find in the middle? Well, of course, it is a Bible, something dynamite in amongst all his clothes. And the point is that the gospel, that the Bible, it is powerful. That is what Paul, and in fact every Christian, truly knows. It is powerful to change us, to transform us very, very deeply, as through it, the voice of the living God is heard. I mean, it's powerful to change society, isn't it? Even the most cursory glance through history would show us that. Just think of Wilberforce and slavery. There is a man gripped by the gospel, motivated by the gospel. A man who changed the world. Or think of Martin Luther King and his desire for racial justice, both his method, non-violence, pacifism, and also his motives, justice for the oppressed, significantly shaped by his understanding of God's word, by the gospel. Tom Holland, actually, the historian, has written this wonderful, rather sort of weighty book on how the world that we inhabit, and in particular our Western society, owes so much to the Christian gospel. So rights for the oppressed, the dignity of those suffering, the value of the individual, and so on. The power of the gospel, you see, is one great cause for confidence. It is powerful. This word, this book, has changed the world. But more to the point, it's powerful, able to bring salvation. It is, if you like, the one source of salvation for the world. And we're on to the second point on the handout. The gospel is powerful to save. Verse 16 again, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, writes Paul, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We're going to dwell on next week what the gospel saves us for, or what the gospel saves us from, might be a better choice of words. But I think we get a hint down there in chapter 1, verse 17, what this gospel message offers the world. Verse 17, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Righteousness of God can have two meanings here in Romans, possibly three, definitely two in this letter. First, it might describe the fact God's righteous in his character. He's faithful, and he's gracious, and he's good. And certainly the gospel does reveal that. We're going to keep coming back to that in future weeks. God is faithful, and he is righteous, and he is good. But secondly, it might describe the offer of the gospel, a new status, a new verdict for people like me and you. Might say it could refer to how we can get right with God, how God can justify sinful people like me and you. And I think it's with this second sense that Paul is writing here. Here's what God and what the gospel offers you. A chance to be considered right when we stand in God's courtroom. on that day when we are called to give an account for the things we have chosen to do. And I want to suggest today that that is not a small thing. Getting right with God before the day that he judges you. We saw a couple of weeks ago, if you're able to join us, that Jesus has ascended. He is the Son of God in power, and one day that means he's going to judge you and me. And of course, he deserves our loyalty. He's our Lord. He should be worshipped by everyone. Yet that is not what we do. Psalm 2, which I don't think was very far from Paul's mind as he wrote the first verses of this chapter, contains a terrifying description of the fate of the unrighteous, those who just scoff at God, serve themselves in what they choose to do. Psalm 2, verse 9, this is God the Father speaking to God the Son, "You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like pottery." But Paul says, through this gospel, there's a way to be made righteous. Not a long list of kind of good works you've got to do, but an offer of forgiveness, a new status, declared righteous, long before the day that Jesus judges you. Note that it's an offer that's simply received by faith, just believing, verse 17, that's what we're being asked to do. This gospel word is powerful. In it we find salvation. There is a way to be made right with God for sinful people like me and like you. To come back full circle to that question that we started with, can you begin to see why Paul was so excited about this gospel? We're all going to meet God one day, aren't we? There'll be a day of resurrection. Every single one of us will stand before his throne. And so we all need salvation. Every colleague in our office, every man, woman, and child in first century Rome. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," writes Paul, "for it is the power of God for salvation. For in it," verse 17, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Well, you'll see that I've put some questions down there on the bottom of the handout that I hope will get us thinking. You know, why would anybody want to make the gospel known? But as we close, and finally, a third gospel conviction, here's why Paul was keen to preach God's word in Rome. Third conviction: the gospel is powerful to save everyone. Verse 16, one last time. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," writes Paul, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Jew and Greek, I think, synonymous with folk from every nation, men and women, young and old, literally anyone. The gospel, it is powerful. God's power for salvation, and it offers it to literally everyone. That's why someone like me, speaking to a room like this, I can say that if you are here today and you have not turned to Jesus, if you do not yet believe the gospel, you know, if you're still living primarily for yourself and ignoring God's risen Son, then this very lunchtime you can be made righteous just by trusting in the gospel, despite any sins and whatever you have done. You know, there's no one in your office who is excluded by this gospel, who is excluded by the gospel of God's Son. Oh, they do need to believe it, and they need to listen to it. They need saving faith. They need to actually trust God's Son. But first, they need to hear it. hear this gospel of salvation, which is powerful to save, verse 16, everyone. Well, what could make a man, we ask, so keen to share the gospel that he would risk his life to make it known? Or what could make a man, we ask, so keen to share the gospel that he would risk his job to make it known? Well, think about the gospel. It's God's power for salvation. It's God's power to save each and every one of our friends and of our colleagues, of our city, of our nation. It's the power of God to save, verse 16, everyone. If you can find a project more exciting than the gospel, do please come and speak to me, because I can't think of one. I'd love to know what you're involved in. But as we close, I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand back to Mikey. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much this lunchtime for the power of the gospel that has changed and has saved so very many of us, even in this room today. We thank you for the message of forgiveness in the gospel, this offer of a new and righteous status that is held out to literally anyone. And so we pray that you'd really excite us, Father, again about making known this gospel. Please give us boldness, even as we go about our business this afternoon. Give us opportunities to speak with other people about your Son. And we pray that even among us this lunchtime, the power of the gospel would be seen as we are strengthened and emboldened and excited by this wonderful declaration about your Son. And we pray all of it in Jesus' name. Amen.